over with him first. But I couldn't because you were coming over to spend the evening. Anyway, it's a wonderful show. It's called Murder Strikes Out.
Oh, that. Oh, I had a neighbor, Mrs. Finley. She saw it. She didn't think much of it.
Really? It was supposed to be such a big hit. The paper said it's a very exciting mystery.
Oh, the papers. That's just a lot of publicity. All that to do about chills and suspense. And that nonsense about don't tell your friends a surprise ending. Well, it was no surprise to Mrs. Finley. She said she knew all the time that it wasn't the uncle who committed the murder. It was the husband.
You are a blabbermouth! A blabbermouth! You! Blabbermouth! Out!
Ralph.
Out!
Ralph.
Out!
Well, I've had enough.
Out!
Well, I've had enough of this. I'm going home. Oh!
Honeymooners. And some of us, you know, talk a lot, and some of us say very few words. But whether we talk a lot or a little, all of us have found ourselves at some point wishing we could take back something that we've said. We all have said things or have heard things said to either us or someone else that has hurt us or hurt someone else. And at the same time, we all have said things or heard things said that has helped us, have been very beneficial to us or to someone else. Because our words can have such a powerful effect and really such a diverse effect, I want us to consider what James writes here in these verses that Cole read for us about our tongue, about our words, and consider some reasons why we need to pay attention to what comes out of our mouths. To pay attention to our words. And the first reason we need to pay attention to our words is that words are powerful. Here in James, he writes, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And a bit, you know, a rudder, you know, both are very small yet powerful. You know, horses, I'm scared of horses. You know, I'll go near a horse, but I'm scared of it. I'm because they're just so big. You know, they say that some could be like 2,000 pounds. And so if the horse is tied up, I'll go near it, but I'm very careful around them. But with a bit in the horse's mouth attached to the reins, a rider can direct that horse in every movement that it makes. When you think about a ship and just how large they can be, and you think about the rudder and comparatively it's a pretty small part of the ship, and yet that rudder can change the very direction that that ship is going to go. So too, the tongue is small, yet it is powerful. Even with just a very few words, it can have such power. You know, when Michael was a baby, he would wake up crying. And he was our firstborn, so I didn't know what was going on, you know. And so I would check his diaper, and that looked really good to me. So I didn't know what was happening. Then he was at the age where he could just barely speak, and so all of a sudden he would say, "Juice, juice," and with just that word and not even saying it all that well, it had a tremendous power and a powerful effect. He got some juice, and I got some peace and quiet. So it was good. But our words are powerful. And the Bible says that a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so our words can have such power and can have such benefit and help to other people. And Paul encourages us to use our words that way. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And our words can be helpful. They can be good, and they can have power to influence. When Cheryl Pruitt was 4 years old, she used to hang around her father's small country grocery store. And almost daily, the milkman would come in and greet her with, "How's my little Miss America?" And she would be kind of embarrassed by that. She would giggle, you know, but eventually she became comfortable with it. And then it became a childhood fantasy. And then it became a teenage dream. Then finally it became a goal. And in 1980, she stood on stage in Atlantic City and was crowned Miss America. You know, that milkman probably never realized that his greeting to Little Show Pruitt would ever be taken seriously and one day become a reality. And in the same way, I don't think we always realize how much power our words have. That we have power, our words have power to influence people in either a positive or a negative way. If we say encouraging things to other people, they will be more likely to live up to those words of encouragement. It lifts up their spirit. But if we cut someone down and say negative things and discouraging things, it may lead them to despair and even to negative behavior. And so Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up. And that is what our words can do. Our words can build one another up. Again, the Bible says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And while our words can have such a good and powerful, positive effect, because our words are so powerful, they can also cause great damage. Again, that verse in Proverbs where it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, the Bible says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Because our words are powerful, and because with that power it can produce good things and influence people in positive ways, it can also influence people in negative ways. James challenges us to pay attention to our words, not only because they're powerful, but also because words can be destructive. Our words can be destructive. Again, James writes, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And James compares the tongue to a fire. And in 1871, a small fire that started in someone's barn led to what is now known as the Great Chicago Fire. And that fire burned for over 2 days, killed hundreds of people, burned over 3 miles of the city of Chicago. Just a few winters ago, we had a number of house fires in our own area here. And if you ever drove by any of those, you saw how destructive fire can be. And so when we think of fire, we think of that destruction, and we think of how easily that damage spreads through that fire. But not only is a tongue a fire, James states that it is also full of deadly poison. He writes, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. James says, you know, our tongues are untamable. James says our tongues are full of deadly poison. You know, we're careful around poison. You know, we're careful around even poison ivy. You know, when I would take kids, you know, we go golfing at Rosen or something, and I would bring a bunch of golf balls with me because I say, you know, if the ball goes in the woods here at Rosen, it's full of poison ivy. Don't go in there. I have a bunch of golf balls here. Let it go. And we're careful around that. And we're careful when there's poisonous stuff in our house. You know, we have it sealed tightly. We have it out of reach of our children so they can get to it. We have the poison control number on our refrigerator or it's on our phone. You know, we're alert when poison is involved. We're alert when fire is involved. And James uses these two illustrations of fire and poison to help us to realize that we need to be alert to our words because our words are powerful and our words can be hurtful and they can do a lot of damage. You remember the story of Job, where, you know, God had just blessed Job, and then he took stuff away from Job. He lost his family except for his wife. You know, he lost his health. He lost his wealth. Then he had some of his buddies come and visit with him. And they saw just the horrible state that he was in. And they just sat quietly with him for 7 days. Then they started talking. They started saying things that just weren't right. And finally, Job says to his friends, "How long will you torment me and crush me with words?" And our words can crush. You know, when I was going to school in Miami, Florida, I worked a couple years with an organization called Youth for Christ, and I worked in their inner city program. And so my responsibility, I was responsible for 7th to 9th graders in the Liberty City area of Miami. And so I would pick these guys up, I would go around and pick them up at their house, and if they want to come, I'd bring them to our center that we had, and they could use the equipment there, and then we would have a Bible study with them. And one of the guys that normally came out was this young man by the name of Oat, but everyone called him Dirty Oat, you know, and that was just how everyone called him. Every time I was with him, every time we were with other people, and they would address him, they always addressed him as Dirty Oat. It never seemed to bother him. He always responded to it, and seemed to think nothing of it. And I remember one day I was going around the neighborhood, and I had picked him up in the van that Youth for Christ had. And I get to his house, and he hops in the van, as he hops in the van, I say, "Hey, how you doing, Dirty Oat?" And all of a sudden, he says to me, he says, "Dave, why did you say that? Don't ever call me that." That happened 35 years ago. I could still picture Oat getting in that van. I can still picture him being on that first bench seat. I can still remember him saying, "Dave, why did you say that? Don't ever call me that." Our words can hurt. Our words can do damage. You know, I grew up in the dark ages, you know, and I had freckles, so I was very familiar with how everyone always told me, "Hey, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Well, that is such a lie. Names do hurt people, and we must be careful with what comes out of our mouths, because our tongue, our words can be so destructive and so hurtful. Francis Chan makes this statement: "Your tongue can be that little spark that can destroy so much. Where one careless sentence can destroy a relationship, can ruin someone else's life, can lead someone else into depression or into a spiral." You know, we all have said things that we wish we could get back. Sometimes, as soon as we have said them, we wish we could get them back. But the reality is that we can't. And that's why we need to pay attention to our words. You know, because our words are kind of like this tube of toothpaste here. You know, it's very easy for us to have our words come out of this. It's very easy for us to speak. But trying to get this toothpaste back into this tube doesn't really work. That's kind of how it is when we speak. We can't get those things back. They're out there. And so James says you have to be careful, because our words can be hurtful. And listen, we can get frustrated. We can get discouraged, you know, because we all know that we blow it. You know, even in giving this message today, you know, there was a hesitation. Well, maybe I should do something different, because I'm not the one that should be up here, because I just blow this all the time too. You know, I'm just so afraid of, from the time the service is over, by the time I get to the parking lot, how many times I'm going to have said something I shouldn't have said. You know, it happens to all of us, and we struggle with it. And then James says, you know, your tongue is untamable, and we think, "Oh my goodness, what do I do?" But we need to realize that we have a God who is gracious, a God who is forgiving, and so we need to be forgiving to one another, because we know that we all blow it with the things that we say. But we also have a God who is more powerful, a God who can help us to tame our tongue and to control our tongue. The Apostle Paul says, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And so we need to come before God and tell God, "You know what? I know I've blown. I'm sorry. Help me. Help me to take the steps that I need to take." We need to have that prayer of that the psalmist had, where he says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." We need to want to be able to control our tongues. We need to come before God desiring that, asking for him to help us to take those needed steps that we have to have. We need to pay attention to our words because they are powerful and because they can be destructive. But we also need to pay attention to our words because words are a measuring stick. Our words are a spiritual measuring stick. James writes, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check." James says, if you can control your mouth, you can control the rest of your body. If you can control what you say, you can control the rest of what you do. And when he says here, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, this word perfect means complete, mature. You know, it's the same word that James uses in the first chapter when he's talking about the trials you go through, when he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. And so our words show us how we are doing spiritually. You know, James, he writes to these people, and you'll see in this book of James that he's writing to believers, and it seems that he's writing to believers who seem pretty proud about their relationship with Christ and how they're doing. So he kind of goes through different things throughout this book, saying, well, how about this area? How are you doing here? And why isn't this happening? Or why is this happening? And so he writes to these people, and starting at verse 9 here in chapter 3, he says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." James says, you know, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. He says, you know, you praise God, but then you also use your mouth to speak badly about people. You speak badly about people who have been made in the very likeness and image of God. And he says, this should not be. This shouldn't be happening. And for a person who is a Christian who has been changed by God, there shouldn't be this inconsistency in your speech. James writes that the same spring doesn't produce fresh water and salt water. He says if you plant a fig tree, it's not going to grow olives. If you plant an apple tree at your house, you're not expecting bananas or oranges to grow on that thing. And James says that a true child of God should not be producing unwholesome, negative, or hurtful speech. And our words are a spiritual measuring stick. They show us where our heart really is at. You know, Jesus made this statement, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Our words show our heart. What is in our heart comes out through our words. And so we need to pay attention to our words. We need to examine what is coming out of our mouths. It helps us to evaluate really how we're doing spiritually. Because if all that is coming out of my mouth is negativity, slander, cursing, hurting other people, speaking negatively about other people, then I have to ask myself, how much of my heart does Jesus really have? How much have I really yielded myself to him? How much am I allowing the Holy Spirit to control me? This Holy Spirit who is to be producing the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. How much am I really living for him and following him if what is coming out of my mouth is always this bad stuff? We need to pay attention to our words because our words are powerful. Our words can be destructive. And words are a spiritual measuring stick. And so as we think about that, and as we pay attention to our words, I want to leave you with one last question that we all, I think, need to ask ourselves when we consider our words. Do my words bring people closer to God, or do they push others further away from him? Think about it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being a God who loves us and guides us and directs us. I thank you that you're a God who is always with us. I thank you that you're a God who is all-powerful, a God who can mold and shape us and can change us. And I thank you for the way that you do that. And Father, we come before you recognizing that we are people who struggle. Even as James says, we all stumble in many ways. And our tongue is one of those ways that so many of us have difficulty in. So I ask that you'll help us. Help us as we pay attention to our words. We try to have our words really reflect a heart that is following after you. And Father, I ask that you'll help us also to be patient with one another, because we know that we all blow it too. And so I ask that we would be people who are gentle and caring and loving. And I ask that you'll help us be a people who use our words to draw people closer to you. This we ask in Jesus' name.